Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Farm Focus. I'm Jim Finn. Later on in the programme, I will be talking to Michael Ryan from Whelehan Crop Protection. But my first guest this morning is Elaine Levy, who is a organic specialist with Chagas. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm very well. And look, thank you ever so much, Elaine, for joining us this morning and talking about organics. And I suppose the best place to kick off with is the minister opens the organic scheme that had been closed for a number of years. And can you explain to my listeners a little bit about the scheme and if you know anything about how well it is going now that it has been opened?
Yes, well, I suppose that we go back to October last year, the Minister for State, Minister Hackett, announced that there was going to be funding towards the reopening of an organic farming scheme for new participants. And a budget of $4 million was allocated for that new scheme. And roll on then into February, this new scheme was opened from the 1st of March and it closed for new applicants on the 31st of April. That new budget allocation of $4 to $5 million budget would estimate between 400 and 500 new applicants to the organic farming scheme. Figures just released there in the last couple of weeks, over 300 people have applied for that scheme. I think specifically, I think it was 317 people. So this will see that the number of organic farmers in the country would be expected if all those people meet the criteria and get into the scheme, that will be a 20% increase in the existing number of organic farmers in the country.
Now, you're working in that particular field the whole time. We're well behind our European colleagues as far as organic farming is concerned. Would it take much for us to even come up to, we'd say, the European average?
Yeah, well, presently, just in relation to, as you said, Jim, where we're at the moment in Ireland, there's approximately just under 2,000 organic producers in the country, farming approximately, area-wise, 74,000 hectares of the utilised agricultural area of the land, which represents about, 2% of the agricultural area in Ireland. If you are to compare that with the EU national average, you're talking about the figure there of approximately 8.5% is being farmed organically right across Europe. So we are quite behind on that basis. And within that 8.5%, there's wide variation among the European countries. Where we're going, or what are the plan or the programme for Ireland going forward would be that the national government's target would be to align it with the EU average of that approximate 8.5%. That's where we're at the moment.
So we have quite a bit to travel.
I suppose even if you're to look at it at a European level, and we're all talking about the new rural development plan coming forward and the policy coming forward, in relation to policy and behind organic farming, the new Farm to Fork strategy at a European level has stated that they would like to have a plan of, by the end of 2030, 25% of all land being farmed organically in Europe. So that's an ambitious target. So each country will have to try and align and put a plan in place. So it is coming from EU level that there is policy looking to drive organic production right across Europe.
25% organic post 2030, that's going to have quite an effect on to the consumer as far as buying their food is concerned, because they will have to be paying more for it.
Yeah, and I suppose as well as that, it's a very good point that, like, as you say, in relation to the policy, it has to take into account, I suppose, everybody along at what they call the value chain of the system. So they need to be able to, as well as produce it, they need to stimulate demand and market. So that will have to work hand in hand with increasing production, certainly, yes.
There is a lot of effort going into stimulating demand, particularly among health professionals. They seem to think that we'd be better off if we were eating organic.
Of course, there is. Look, at again, as regards from a production where I'm working at farm level, organic farming would be seen. It's definitely well recognised, free from benefits from organic produce that you are producing a product or an animal or feed in relation to that. It's free from pesticides, artificial fertilizers. So the free from and environmental benefits are very well recognised. Yes.
Let's look at the enterprises then. My understanding is that with regard to the beef farmer, that seems to form the bulk of the land that's
correct,
given
yes.
over to organic farming. Is that correct?
That's correct, Jim. The biggest sector within the organic sector, production sector in Ireland, would be the dry stock. So it's predominantly made up of livestock farmers. That's correct. And to a lesser extent, you're talking about cereals, hort, dairy, and poultry and vegetable would be much smaller. So it's predominantly made up of livestock enterprises. That is correct, yes.
Yeah, and of course the consumer would look on it as maybe from the point of view of vegetable production.
Yes, and vegetable, it's being shown statistically-wise, like in relation to that, there's more than in the region of 70% of the organic fruit and veg that we eat in this country is actually imported, would be the statistics that would be showing. So that, and from that, you would say that there is good opportunities in relation to horticulture. But then again, you have to look at the system itself, and like it is quite a specialised area and all this. So all those kind of things have to be considered as well. But certainly it would be an area where there is definitely seen that there is a demand for what we call import substitution. Definitely, yes.
It amazes me when I go to the local farmer's market and there's an organic person there and has all sorts of exotic vegetables and fruits wouldn't be grown in Ireland. And you can see the amount of import in organics that we have in this country.
And another thing as well, that always, because I'm not from horticulture background, I'm from one of those dry stock background. But what always amazes me as well is that we sometimes talk about land area and having greater land area and all the rest of what horticulture producers can produce on their areas of land on very small holdings is really, you know, astonishing. It's a very specialised area. And you need to know what you're doing. But some of the established horticulture growers organically are producing an awful lot from small bases of land.
I even see it myself, and I'm quite sure an awful lot of my farming friends would have a little patch someplace where they are growing organically for their own consumption. You know, maybe it's been driven by the wife or the partner more than by the farmer themselves.
But we'd like to have organic
lettuce, and we'd like to have a few organic carrots.
I suppose just one thing to note is that there is regulation and certification in process that once you are producing something organically, you are registered as the Department of Agriculture, the organic unit, is the competent authority in charge of organic production and organic regulation. And they've designated what's called the organic certification bodies to regulate, inspect and license all organic producers. So all organic producers are registered with an organic certification body and are following in line organic regulations. So there's legislation in place for all of those producers farming organically.
Right. And of course, you mentioned the regulations. How long does it take to transfer from, normal agricultural practices to becoming organic?
Yes, the normal, you decide to convert your farm to livestock farmer, let's say, decides to convert your farm to organic production. The land undergoes what's called a conversion phase, and in a normal in normal forage-based livestock systems, that would be 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
So you're in conversion for year one and year two. And at the end of year two then, you reach full organic status. You have full symbols. So your produce going after 2 years then will have full organic status. And at the end of each year, as I we just said there previously, in relation to being registered with your organic certification body, they carry out an inspection and you have a recording system for them in on each year. So you renew your organic license, is what's called renewing your license every year in as you go along.
Okay, well, look, we're running out of time. Thank you ever so much. And if anybody listening to Elaine and myself this morning is interested in maybe becoming organic, they can contact their local Chagas office.
Okay, Jim, thank you for having me.
That, listeners, was Elaine Levy, and Elaine is an organic specialist with Chagas. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Michael Ryan, and Michael is with Houlihan Crop Protection, and he was with me around this time last year as well, and he's with me to talk about the spraying of grass in particular. Good morning, Michael, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. How are you? Thanks very much for having me. I suppose just this time of year coming around again.
Yeah, I know. It comes around very quickly too, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Hopefully things start to heat up a bit now and we might see a bit more movement.
Okay. Well, of course, we're now going to be talking about bringing out the sprayer, so, and particularly on grassland. So let's start off, so, Michael, with, you know, spraying of the grazing sward. What should farmers be, I suppose, thinking about at this stage?
Yeah, so Jim, generally, there could have been, in normal years, there could have been a lot more spraying done to date, whereas there is some work done, but not a whole lot. We've had a fairly harsh spring. I know we've had some hot spells in between, but even when we had fine, warm days, we still had a bit of frost at night. So when you are spraying grazing ground or any ground, you want a good bit of heat there and a good bit of growth. You'll get a better kill at anything when something is actively growing and it's healthy. So now a lot of spray that was done, people have got on okay, but even now this week I would say has been a small bit cold. Hopefully we'll get a bit of heat next week and things will be good to go from there. So I suppose it's in the grazing ground, it's docks is generally the main issue and it's the recurring problem, they're always there. So we're going to be looking out for getting docks at the right size and getting them... So when you have a good healthy leaf, all along with the frost, you might notice a bit of purple on some of the dock leaves. So when that purple is there, the dock is under pressure and it's not healthy, and I suppose it won't take in as much of the chemical as we'd like.
Right, okay. You mentioned heat, you know, that you need to have heat in the soil, and of course the plant needs to be hot as well, Michael. And I know we're after having a whole lot of cold nights, but hopefully, you know, looking at weather chart for the coming week, temperatures appear to be rising anyway, if we can trust what we are told.
Exactly, and as of now, and the most of ground, we have a bit of rain got in the last couple of weeks as well, so there's plenty of moisture there. So if we get that bit of heat, you'd imagine grass should take off, but I suppose the weeds will take off along with them then as well. Okay. So it'll be trying to get out, I suppose, before weeds get out of control. A lot of weeds might be at a decent size to do them now, and I suppose you want to have that bit of heat along with it and get in while that window is there.
What sprays then are you talking about putting out on this grazing ground?
For docks, we would have the main ones would be Dockstar Pro and Forefront T.
Right.
Dockstar Pro is very good on docks, and it's a well-established brand at this stage, and it's very good on common chickweed as well. Forefront T then would be a bit more broad spectrum, so I would be getting docks, thistles, but it's also very good on buttercups, dandelions, and even ragwort is coming under the umbrella there as well.
Yeah. It's interesting, sorry for cutting across on you. It's interesting that you should mention dandelions, because I'm looking at some fields that are stopped at the moment when I was driving during the week, and there are a lot of lovely yellow fields at the moment.
Yes, and I've seen a lot of lovely yellow fields with dandelions, and even when you look in underneath them then as well, there's actually buttercups starting to come, but they only have the leaf is coming, whereas they haven't flowered yet, so you could even give it another week or two and there'd be even more yellow in the field.
So that's for the actual grazing platform. Then looking at the silage platform.
Yes, so I suppose this year has become a bit tricky now with silage, and a lot of ground is stopped for silage as it is. Ideally, you want to be leaving 3 weeks between spraying and cutting. So I would think maybe there mightn't be as much mid-May to end of May silage this year. Now, there will be a certain amount of it, but when growth has been slow, it could be pushed out into June. So even if you got out and sprayed next week, you still have loads of time then with your 3 weeks to come back in and cut. So generally for docks in silage ground, we would be looking at docks there. That forefront tee that we spoke about, it's very good on the grazing ground, but it's only supposed to be used in grazing ground. It's not for silage ground. So that's what we're looking at docks there and that. Then as well, we were talking about your buttercups and dandelions as well. Something like Pastor Trio is a very good broad spectrum as well, and it would get docks as well. So I suppose it's matching up what you have and the range of weeds you have in the field and picking a product that suits the best then.
Rightio. And of course, the other type of spraying that's going on, and I know I've seen my son spraying already this week, during the week, and that is spraying underneath the electric fence wires, particularly with regard to dairy farmers and their paddocks.
Yes, so I suppose when we're trying to keep a shock in the fences, a lot of it as well, and we don't want the weeds to take over. So even now, if you see last week, the briars are starting to green up nicely.
Yeah.
And what are starting to pop up their heads now as well, now they mightn't be as strong as the briar, but it would be that the cow parsley or it's a hogweed with a little white leaf in it, and they're really starting to take off. Even though the growth isn't there, they're starting to grow. So I suppose when you get that bit of heat, get out and get them. We'll be looking at Grazon Pro would be the one that fits all for under the fences. So it's getting that hogweed, it's getting briars, nettles, thistles, docks, even for spot spraying docks around the field as well, if you had the sprayer on the quad or the knapsack out with you. And I suppose we have to say as well that we want to, even though we're spraying under fences, we're not really spraying hedgerows, and we're keeping well back from all water courses, so there's no spraying along the side of the river either.
Right, now we kind of covered, well, we didn't cover that, but we covered the maintenance of the sprayer last week and the calibration thereof and how important that is. But, you know, and I kind of missed you there talking about keeping away from watercourses. So, you know, what's the recommended distance to keep out from a watercourse?
So for all, nearly all of the herbicides or pesticides, whatever you like to call them, that are there, a standard is a 5 meter buffer zone away from water courses. So that's whether you're going with your knapsack or whether you're boom spraying. With the boom sprayer, then with certain, weed control products, and with different types of nozzles, you can reduce that buffer zone down to 3 meters to 2 meters to 1 meter, depending on the product and the nozzle. So these are air induction nozzles, so they reduce the drift of the spray is really what they do. So I suppose that it depends on what nozzles you have now as well, but it's an option. And when you actually have those nozzles as well, you can use less water because there's less drift and you're being a bit more efficient, I suppose, of what you're using.
So there has been advances in sprayer technology. So because, you know, if I go back to my time spraying, you know, basically we only had one or two types of nozzles, so that basically was the bore of the nozzle rather than anything else.
Yeah, and exactly. And as we move on from that, then, even if you're buying a sprayer now, a basic sprayer for grassland, this generally would be the flat fan nozzle that is on it. So
yeah.
If you can get these air induction nozzles, so they would have been used in the cereal side of things, they would have been a bit ahead of the grassland. That's what they're at it a lot longer and more often. And they have it down to a fine art. So it's just depending on what one you can get and what way, how much you can reduce the rate of the spray. But it is an option, and you're being more efficient, you're using less water overall as well. Yes, it would be, I suppose, like that. Everything has been slow as well on that side of things, as well as the grassland. So there might be a bit of tidy up work done now as well at the moment, but it depends on what weed spectrum is there as well.
Michael, then, before I let you go, would you just sum up then what farmers should be doing at the moment?
At the moment, it's keeping an eye on the weather and the size of your weeds. So if you can get out and get your docks when they're 8 to 10 inches across, a nice big leaf, and eight inches across, but the size of a dinner plate, that's the size to get them.
Yeah.
Thistles maybe a bit smaller, maybe 6 to 10 inches up. Mm-hmm. So it's either going, I was saying, Forefront Tee on your grazing ground, Dockstar on your silage ground, either Pastor Trio or Envy on reseeded ground, which we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
Just that'll be coming in your post-emergent spray maybe 4 to 6 weeks afterwards,
mm-hmm.
Depending on what's coming back, which are seedling docks, seedling thistles and chickweed. And if you can get out as well, before things get out of control, get your graze on out on your fence.
Okay, well, look, sure, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Oh, before I go, yeah, where can any of my listeners who want to use any of those sprays that you mentioned, I presume they can be got at any one of the co-ops or merchants?
Yeah, exactly. So any of the agri merchants would have those in stock, and we supply them all over the country.
Okay, well, look, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That listener was Michael Ryan from Whelehan Crop Protection.
Thank you very much, Jim.
That, listeners, is Farm Focus for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Mike Gardner presents Country Corner.